session of the Alaska Cooperative Agricultural Pest Survey.
Yeah, thank you all for having me, and that is a tough act to follow, so I'll try and keep everyone awake. All right, so the Alaska Cooperative Agricultural Pest Survey, just for a quick review of what it is for those who weren't here last year. It is a national program of the United States Department of Agriculture Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. It is, the purpose is to help safeguard agricultural and environmental resources by early detection of harmful pests and diseases of regulatory concern before they are established. How they do that is they confirm the presence or absence of plant pests impacting the domestic and international movement of plants and plant products, provide a distribution profile of plant pests in the U.S. deemed to be of concern to international trade, early detection and rapid response to exotic pest infestations, maintain a pest information database to support U.S. agricultural trade, and enhance national communication and education on pests, their life cycles, pathways, and transport. So this is actually active in all 50 states and a few territories, and the unique part about the CAPS program across the United States is each state surveys for pests that are of concern to their state specifically, as well as looking for states of national concern. So each state can really tailor their surveys to things that are of interest to them for international trade. Alaska has been with the CAPS program since the early 1980s. Some of the things that we have surveyed for in the past are potato cyst nematode, emerald ash borer, light brown apple moth, purple loosestrife, Asian longhorn beetle, and many others. So in Alaska, the surveys are determined by the Alaska CAPS Committee. The CAPS Committee, is the core four are the state plant health director, the pest survey specialist, the state survey coordinator, and the state plant regulatory official. Then outside of those four core group, we have other state experts, pathologists, entomologists, not just in state service, but also in federal service and some of the private sector as well. So it's a good group, core group of people that help determine where these surveys should go. And every year we reevaluate which way Alaska should go with these surveys to try and make the most out of these surveys. Because there's not the actual CAPS funding itself, we only have about $10,000 for actual survey work. However, we are also able to utilize Farm Bill funding to do a lot of these projects. So we also try and work collaboratively. So some of the changes that happened for us in 2016. Last year I mentioned two national databases, the National Agricultural Pest Information System, also known as NAPIS, and the Integrated Plant Health Information System, known as IFIS. IFIS wasn't really being utilized by the state cooperators, so they decided to get rid of that and just go with the NAPIS database. The NAPIS database also has a public site, which is the URLs up here, pest.cirrus.purdue.edu, which you can go and look up all the information that was put into the database by the states. So you can look up historical data that way. Another change that's coming is that over the past year and currently we are working on changing our cooperative agreements and reports from a paper system to an online system, and this is the entire CAPS program, not just here in Alaska. So it's going to be like grants.gov, except it's going to be called Easy Fed Grants, and it's meant for CAPS and Farm Bill funding, as well as others, but those are the ones that we deal with. Currently, we're working on getting access to the system and hoping within a year to actually be using this system for our agreements. Another change I am happy to be able to say is we finally have an Alaska CAPS webpage on the Division of Agriculture website. It's just a basic page. It has the what we are, what we do. It also has a list of current and past projects. Some of them have links to the actual reports. Some of them don't. If you see anything on there that you are interested, please feel free to email me. None of this is private information. What we do is a completely public process, so I'm happy to share any of the information and results we've found. All right, so going on to the 2016 field season. This year, one of our biggest projects is the Asian Gypsy Moth Project. I'm happy to report no exotics were found. We did have a few that we had to send off and have DNA tested, but they all came back negative. This year, we set a total of 397 traps statewide for Asian Gypsy Moth, Rosy Gypsy Moth, Nun Moth, and Siberian Silk Moth. We also trap for European Gypsy Moth using the Asian Gypsy Moth trap. The reason we don't list it is back in 2012, USDA did a gypsy moth establishment probability for Alaska. Now what this is the yellow dots are weather stations and the blue is where they determine that Alaska is not at risk for European gypsy moth establishment. So basically they think that we're not at risk for getting European gypsy moth. However, we don't agree with this assessment, and since this was done back in 2012, we are currently in the process of trying to get this risk model redone. Currently, as I said, we're still trapping for European gypsy moth using Asian gypsy moth traps because they're the same lure and trap combo. It's just where we place the trap for pathways of introduction, because for Asian gypsy moth, we expect them more to be coming in from Asian countries. European gypsy moth, we expect more to be coming in from the eastern United States and even some in Washington and Oregon, because they are currently battling Asian and European gypsy moth populations. So just FYI, we are working on getting that updated and moved on. One of the reasons we're able to continue doing the Asian gypsy moth survey versus not being able to continue with doing as robust a European gypsy moth survey as we've done in the past is the Asian gypsy moth is actually a hardier gypsy moth than the European. It will establish, our region is more conducive to the Asian gypsy moth's native habitat. So here are the trapping sites for 2016. Thankfully, we work with some great cooperators. University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension Service does a bulk of our trapping, and we also have a few other private cooperators who help us out. We put in for $45,000 for a farm bill. We only got $30,000, so that's the reason our trap numbers were only about 400. I'm working on trying to increase our funding and our trap numbers because with all the different pathways that these pests can get into the state, I really feel we need to have high trapping numbers in order to really get a good sense if something does come into the state. So for 2016, we also did an exotic wood-boring bark beetle survey. Last year I mentioned that we had an FY15 exotic wood-boring bark beetle survey I was trying to get an extension on. That extension request was denied. So since I already had a 2016 survey in the works, I went ahead and went from 7 traps up to 14 traps. Unfortunately, 2 of the traps down the Kenai weren't maintained, so I was only able to use 12 sites statewide for the actual survey data. None of the exotics that we were looking for was found. However, they found Phymatodes maculicolis, which is a native North American species. And they're not overly concerned about it. They're just were surprised to see it in Alaska. It was previously known from British Columbia to California and British Columbia to the Great Lakes. And this, I think I just mentioned, it was actually found in Palmer. And the trap contents were screened and identified by James Labonte, just so you know who did the screening. So these were the actual trap sites for the EWBBs. So we were able to get them statewide. Another survey that we were hoping for an extension in 2015 was an exotic mollusk survey. However, that extension request was also denied. So that funding period was from July 1, 15 to June 30, 2016. So I was able to do some surveys for mollusks in June of 2016. Not the ideal time to be doing it, but I was able to at least get out and do some survey work. I did 34 sites in Cordova, Sitka, Juneau, and Ketchikan. The pre-screeners have gone through the samples and they didn't find anything that we were looking for, no exotics. However, we haven't gotten an official APHIS identifier to look over them yet, so I'm still hoping to get those official results. And then just to give you an idea where I did the surveys. So for upcoming field season work, I'm going to continue doing the Asian gypsy moth survey statewide. It'll be about the same. Again, I put in for $45,000 in funding and was reduced back down to $30,000. So this year's trapping efforts will look very similar to last year's. We're also planning on doing a nursery survey in 3 phases. This year, we're hoping to do Anchorage, Matsu, and Fairbanks. Next year, the Kenai Peninsula and Kodiak. And the next year after that, down in Southeast. The purpose of this survey is we're trying to get a sense of what is coming into the state on nursery stock and also surveying the nurseries to see what they have seen in the past and what concerns they have. And the survey itself is going to be a very broad survey looking for some big key players in a bunch of different areas such as longhorn beetle, black slug, vineyard snail, western flower thrips, Phytophthora remorum, stubby root nematode, tomato spotted wilt virus and tobacco rattle virus. So it's going to be a pretty broad survey, which is why we're doing it in three phases instead of trying to do it statewide in 1 year. And then we're also going to continue with our mollusk survey this next year, going for the Anchorage, Matsu, and Fairbanks regions as well. And the purpose of this survey, we've done mollusk surveys in the past. This survey is kind of a follow-up, seeing if they're still there, if they are, if they've spread, and if they spread, how far, and if there's any new introductions. So I've also brought just kind of like little info cards if anybody's interested with my information on them. Thank you for having me. Do you guys have any questions about CAPS or what we've been doing or plan on doing?
I've got a question.
Oh, here. Okay.
I'm curious, and it might be something just to follow up on later, with that Phymatodes maculicolus, do you know what trap it was in?
Yes, it was the SBS alpha piney lure. Or it was at SBS in Palmer is where we found it.
Right, at the recycling center?
Not the recycling center, literally like across the street from our office.
And where's the specimen or specimens?
It's still down with the identifier in Oregon.
Jim?
We have a specimen of that as well that has come in some of the traps. I don't recall if it was EDR or IPS trapping or something, but I know that has come across something before.
We came across some over the summer, but they could be misidentified, but I'm not
And just
sure
because they say
like.
It's a first record, it might just be a first record for their database.
Yeah.
Obviously, if we're finding it, it's not abnormal to see it here. Mm-hmm. But that's good to know for sure.
So what happens when you do, if you do find Asian gypsy moth, for example, is there anything in place for any response to that?
There is, because just as a background to start that off, the state plant health director we share with Washington, and Washington is currently going through that process. So what happens is we make sure it's identified. The next year, if we only get a single male moth catch, it's not a huge thing. It might just be they hitchhiked. The issue we find is if we find them in multiple traps, and even if we find one, we'll be doing a delimiting survey, so a heavier survey effort in that area the next year. If we do find that they are starting to establish, we will work on an eradication effort, which will include public outreach. There's already a bunch of different chemical methods that have been seen to be effective that Washington is using, and a lot of that research is already done down there, so we just have to do more research up here on figuring out what we'd want to do depending on the area where we find it, where the communities are. But there's a process in place for if we do find one, okay, is it really establishing here? If it is, this is the process we have to do to try and eradicate it.
Okay, well that's great to hear. I know we're involved with things on the Kenai with weeds that show up, and often it's a frustration that people are really into EDER, and then you actually get a new weed and there nobody does anything about it.
Yeah.
Let's watch it grow. And I'm really happy to hear people are thinking about.
For the Asian gypsy moth especially, it's of a national concern, so we would be able to get some support there. For the ones that are just state concern, it's a little harder to get the process going on an eradication effort for funding purposes. We'd have to find a funding source, because currently the CAPS program is just, we're looking for it. We don't have the capacity to actually do the eradication effort through the CAPS program, so that would have to be a state effort. So that those pests would be a little bit more difficult, but we still have a process in place. It would be finding funding at that point.
Who's doing the slug IDs?
APHIS identifier, I'm not sure who they're sending them to. Yolanda Inguanzo, our pest survey specialist, is doing the pre-screening. We're still waiting for one of the APHIS identifiers, and there's a couple malacologists who could do it. So I'm not sure which one we're trying to get to do the actual IDs. Probably whoever has time first. Right now, the specimens are sitting in Washington with our pest survey specialist.
Do they also work from photos?
No. How they do it is they actually dissect the specimen to find out what species it is.
I don't know much about mollusks, and I try to forget as much as I can because I got focused on arthropods, but I thought there was a big black slug in southeast Alaska.
There is. It's all over Cordova, it's in southeast, and we're starting to find it in some of the southwest communities, which is one of the reasons why I want to continue doing the survey is to at least gives people an outlet to where they can send the slugs. I can't promise IDs, especially if it's not on the APHIS list, and we're still trying to get an actual official ID on what the black slug is, because over the past years, it's been the European black slug, it's been the Arian complex, ARVC. We haven't gotten a straight answer yet, unfortunately. So.
But you didn't detect it last year?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes. It's still all over Cordova, but because it's not on the APHIS list, they don't consider it an exotic.
I see.
So that was for our state survey that we found it.
I think the Forest Service did some work back in like 04, and then the Extension Service had done some stuff, and then in 06 is when we started doing the mollusk work with the division. And we actually had, in those days, we had somebody down in the plant inspection station in Seattle that was doing the identifications, and we got back some pretty good identifications and morphological stuff. But then that identifier, you know, they get pretty busy with a lot of international stuff that comes in. So then we kind of started getting back the, well, it's just a non-target, and then that was it. But so, yeah, hopefully, you know, they can find somebody and get better identifications and stuff. But
yeah, because there's been a lot of interest from the public on right. mollusks, and not just me, but some of our CES extension have been getting lots of questions about
mollusks. Light scanner picked those up. If you send those to light scanner, give that a shot.
That's a good idea.
It's like 80s. Yeah.
It can't hurt.
There is a mollusk tool too. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's online. I think you probably have the link to that someplace.
I can send
yeah,
it
but
to
yeah, it's a pretty good resource for with photos for mollusk visual aids.
15. All right, let's give Jackie a hand.